Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sermon text for today comes from Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Let me sing a song for my loved one, a song about my loved one's vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile ridge. He dug it up and gathered the stones out of it. He planted it with the best vines. He built a tower in the middle of it. He also cut a winepress into it. He expected it to produce clusters of sweet grapes, but it produced only sour grapes. So now, you residents of Jerusalem and you men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard that I have not already done for it? When I expected it to produce clusters of sweet grapes, why did it produce sour grapes? Now let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will become a pasture. I will break down its wall, and it will be trampled down. I will make it a wasteland. It will not be pruned or hoed, so briars and thorns will shoot up. I also will command the clouds not to pour rain on it. Yes, the vineyard of the Lord of armies is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the planting that was pleasing to him. He expected justice, but instead there was oppression. He expected righteousness, but there was an outcry. The word of our Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm really bad at keeping plants alive. I like to garden and I like to grow flowers, but it's just one thing that I'm really not good at. Throughout college, I would buy those little succulent plants that are in those pretty little pots, and I would expect for these plants to grow into the most beautiful flowers you had ever seen, but it seemed like I just could not get it right. I'd painstakingly research how to grow these plants, when to water them, what kind of soil to use. I'd buy new soil and buy new pots, and I'd plant these plants into different pots. But it seemed like no matter what I did, these plants would still die. And these succulent plants are supposedly one of the easiest plants to grow. But every time that I would try to keep one alive, it would quickly die. I put in all this work just for these plants to die. Does this sound familiar? This is what happened in our reading for today with the vineyard. This loved one in the text pulled out all the stops and he did everything he could to make this vineyard beautiful. He had great expectations about how this vineyard would turn out, about the wonderful grapes that this vineyard would produce. But he did not expect these things to go so poorly. With all the work that he put into the vineyard should have produced a great crop. However, even with all this time and effort that the loved one put into the vineyard, it only produced bad fruit. It is explained at the end of the reading that the loved one is God, and the fruit is what he expects from his people. God expected a wonderful harvest of great things for his people, but they did not repay him what he deserved. Here we see the prophet Isaiah telling the people God's great expectations. We learn God's expectations for his people Israel, who were his chosen people, and we also learn God's expectations of us. First, we see what God expected of Israel and Judah, his chosen people. The first verses of our text say, "My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile ridge. He dug it up and gathered the stones out of it. He planted it with the best vines. He built a tower in the middle of it. He also cut a winepress into it." Now, these people were God's chosen people from the time of Abraham. His presence was with these people as they grew into a great nation. God was with them from the very beginning. God led these people out of slavery. He led them through the desert. He then led them into the land that they were promised. God did everything for these people. Just as the loved one painstakingly took the time to plant this vineyard and cleared out all the stones and planted all of the best vines, the The Lord was with the nation of Israel from the start. He did everything for them. Just like the loved one built a watchtower in the vineyard, God had these people build a wonderful temple, a temple where these people were supposed to praise and thank him for all of the things that he had done for them. Because he was such a wonderful creator and Lord, he deserved this praise and thanks. But now, this thanks and praise had run dry. The loved one built a wine press awaiting the fruits that the vineyard would yield. This isn't just some halfway hobby. You can tell that the loved one here is taking all of his time and effort to build this wine press, to expect these grapes that the vineyard was supposed to grow. The Lord waited for his people to thank and praise him for everything that he had done for them. The Lord expected and deserved these people's thankfulness, devotion, their praise, thanks, and offerings. The Lord expected Israel and Judah to be his chosen people in a sinful world, and they were to live like God's own children. The Lord expected these people to love and care for one another. After all that the Lord had done for these people, those good fruits should have been there. But what happened in the vineyard? The end of verse 2 says, he expected it to produce clusters of sweet grapes, but it produced only sour grapes. The literal meaning of this word for sour grapes in the text translates to stinking things. These people only produced stinking things. These fruits shouldn't even be counted as fruits at all. These are just stinking things. They're absolutely worthless. God did everything for his people. A perfect God does not skimp on giving his chosen people the absolute best. But what did these people do to repay him? They gave him only stinking things. The last verse of our reading says, he expected justice, but instead there was oppression. He expected righteousness, but there was an outcry. God's people gave him the exact opposite of what he deserved. Instead of acting as God's chosen people, these people acted as children of the world. They became children of a sinful world, disregarding God's every command. Israel rejected his word. They left him and sought out other gods. They broke his commands for them, and they followed the desires of their sinful hearts. After everything that God had done for these people, God expected fruits of faith and good deeds to show their thankfulness to him. God says to them, so now you residents of Jerusalem and you men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard that I have not done for it? God is telling these people, judge between me and you. What have I done for you? What have you done for me? The answer to God's question is nothing. These people did nothing for him. But at the same time, the Lord could have done nothing more than what he already did for these people. And how did they repay him? With complete and utter garbage. Stinking things. God then tells them what he is going to do to them because they did not produce good fruits. Verses 5 and 6 state, now let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will become a pasture. I will break down its wall, and it will be trampled down. I will make it a wasteland. It will not be pruned or hoed, so briars and thorns will shoot up. I will also command the clouds not to pour rain on it. God did everything that he could to give these people the best life that they could have. He built his people up, and they gave him nothing in return. So now God says that he will cut no corners to destroy them. Just as the loved one would tear down the hedge, he would take away his word and his love from his chosen people. Just as the wall of the vineyard would be destroyed, so the wall of Jerusalem would be torn down. The place of Jerusalem would be a shell of what it once was. It would be completely destroyed by its enemies. Jerusalem would then become a wasteland, losing all of the glory that it used to have. Just as the loved one would take away the clouds for rain, the people of Judah would be taken away into exile in Babylon. Previous prophecies showed a shred of hope for these people of Israel and Judah. But in our text for today, this is the first time that Isaiah prophesies that these people would be destroyed. God had given up on his chosen people because they did not produce good fruits of thankfulness to him. After time and time again of disappointment after disappointment, Israel and Judah were no longer in God's good graces. Does this scare you? It absolutely should. Israel and Judah were God's chosen people, but we are also called God's chosen people. Israel and Judah were God's chosen people too, but look what God did to the vineyard. Look what God did to his people, Israel and Judah. Just like God's original chosen people, God has expectations for us too. God gives us everything. He pulls out all the stops and he gives us every blessing that he showers upon us. He gives us life, health, family and friends. He gives us forgiveness of sins, his holy word, a church to worship him in, and eternal life in heaven. He gives us everything in abundance, immeasurably more than what we deserve. But how do we repay him? Instead of listening to his commands and producing good fruits, we also produce these stinking things. When God gives us his commandments for our good, we break them over and over and over again. When God gives us his abundant blessings, we look at what our neighbor has and we think, I would much rather have that than what I have. Our selfishness, our greed, our anger, our hatred, our lust, everything that we have in our hearts is just stinking thing after stinking thing. This is what we give the Lord in return for all that he has done for us. Our God has shown us nothing but love, but we just keep giving him these bad fruits. God deserves much more than this. God expects much more than this. The story of the vineyard is a warning to us. This warning leads us to cry out, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. This warning leads us to repent for these stinking things that we give God after he gives us so much good. This warning leads us to thank God for his greatest gift of all, his Son, Jesus Christ. Above all the gifts that God has given us, the greatest one was the sacrifice of his Son on the cross for our sins. Through living a perfect life, dying a painful death, and rising again from the grave on the third day, Jesus won forgiveness of sins for us. These great expectations are fulfilled through what Christ has already done for us. Christ has accomplished all that needs to be done for our salvation. He did what we cannot do, and he gave us eternal life for free. What Christ has done to get rid of our sins makes us at peace with God. Because of what Christ has done for us, we are able to produce these good fruits. We can produce these good fruits of faith for our Lord and give them and give our Lord what he deserves and expects. Through the faith that the Holy Spirit has created in our hearts, we can do these good works to thank and praise our Father in heaven. As Christians, we do these good works to reflect our Savior's love for us in the world and show each other and show others how much our God truly loves us. In John 14, 7 through 8, Jesus says, If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. If Jesus remains in our hearts, we truly will bear good fruit. Through these good fruits, we show our thankfulness and our praise to God. We pray that we continue to produce these good fruits out of thanks to our Heavenly Father. You were made to produce good fruits. You were made a child of God. Amen.